Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Monday, August 3rd, the final day before the trade deadline. So we had a huge day of trades, and that's what we're going to be focusing on most today. I spent all night putting together all these trades. We're going to run through all of them, but first we're going to look at a couple of injuries that occurred yesterday. Starting pitcher Mitch Keller was placed on the 60-day IL with a teres major muscle injury. Keller is pretty much done for the season. He could return in the playoffs, but the Pirates are unlikely to make it there at this point. Well, maybe not. I might be speaking out of my back end there, but I think right now Keller is not somebody that is the best pitcher in that Pirates rotation. Regardless, Carmen Majinski will transition from the bullpen to the rotation to replace Keller, and reliever Brandon Eichert was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, catcher Dalton Rushing was placed on the 10-day IL with a mild elbow strain. The Dodgers addressed the absence of their top two backstops by acquiring some catching depth at the trade deadline. Both Rushing and Will Smith are on the injured list currently. Catcher Chucky Robinson was selected from the minors in a corresponding move, and I'm looking at the typo that I did for Chucky Robinson. I wrote Jackie Robinson. That is pretty good. All right, so a couple injuries. Let's just jump right into the trade deadline news. We had like a million trades. We're going to run through them all. Let's start. There's no particular order here. I'm trying to keep it like amongst the teams, but you'll see. Let's start off with starting pitcher Casey Mize and third baseman Gage Workman, who were traded by the Tigers to the Padres in exchange for starting pitcher Cash Mayfield and Jackson Wolf. Mayfield, it was the Padres' number two prospect and is now the Tigers' number six prospect. He's a 21-year-old southpaw who was the 25th overall pick in 2024 at High A. He's pitched to a 3.54 ERA, 1.16 WHIP with a 29% strikeout rate and a 10% walk rate. So he's pretty exciting. They also get Jackson Wolf, who's a 27-year-old left-handed pitcher. He's a post-hype prospect at AAA. He struggled this year, 7.05 ERA, 1.67 WHIP, 21% strikeout rate, 9% walk rate. But this trade was a buzzer beater, Casey Mize going to the Padres, but it's not necessarily a surprising one, as Mize is an impending free agent. He'll be a free agent after 2026. Mize is one of two notable additions that will shake up a Padres rotation that has been one of the worst in baseball this year. Mize has pitched better than ever this year, so it'll be huge to have him going to San Diego. He's pitched to a 2.70 ERA, a 0.99 WHIP, and a 25% strikeout rate, and he'll line up alongside Michael King and starting pitcher Robbie Ray, who was traded by the Giants to the Padres in exchange for two prospects, starting pitcher Miguel Mendez, who's the Padres' number four prospect and is now the Giants' number 14 prospect, as his prospect star has faded a little bit. Mendez is a 24-year-old righty who at High A and Double A has pitched to a 4.79 ERA, a 1.40 WHIP, a 25% strikeout rate, and 11% walk rate. The Giants also acquired shortstop Joniel Hernandez from the Padres. He is the Padres' number 9 prospect. He's now the Giants' number 21 prospect. He's a 17-year-old, and he's only played in the Dominican Summer League this year, batting .303 with 4 homers, 4 steals, and a 120 WRC+. But something I'd love to see, great plate discipline, as Hernandez has walked more than he's struck out. But for Robbie Ray, he is also an impending free agent, so the Padres will get some temporary reinforcements for the rotation in Mize and Ray. But Ray was a coveted player at the deadline because of his big league acumen. He'll stick in the division going from the Giants to the Padres, and he'll look to build off his 3.08 ERA, 1.29 WHIP, and 21% strikeout rate on the season. The rotation trio in San Diego now is pretty impressive, as long as Casey Mize stays healthy, Robbie Ray throws strikes, and Michael King commands his deep arsenal. In other Giants trade news, they traded outfielder Elliot Ramos to the Yankees in exchange for two prospects, the first one being starting pitcher Henry LaLanne, who was the Yankees' number 5 prospect and is now the Giants' number 9 prospect. All of these prospect rankings are according to MLB Pipeline. LaLanne is a 22-year-old southpaw at low A and high A. He's pitched to a 2.77 ERA, a 1.00 whip, a 32% strikeout rate, and an 8% walk rate, so he's a pretty exciting young arm. They also got shortstop Caden Kent, who was the Yankees' number 13 prospect and is now the Giants' number 22 prospect. He's a 22-year-old shortstop. He was the third round pick in 2025 of the Yankees. And at high A, he's batted .302 with 6 homers, 20 steals, and a 107 WRC plus. But most notably, Caden Kent is the son of Hall of Famer Jeff Kent, who was just inducted to the Hall of Fame. Kent is also a former Giant, so that's a pretty exciting addition to the Giants farm system. As for the Yankees acquisition of Ramos, he isn't the big bat that the prospect return suggests, but he does have 3 more years of control and has been a league average hitter throughout his career, albeit with terrible outfield defense. Ramos will man left field for the Yankees until their outfield returns to health, with Bellinger and Judge currently on the IL, at which point Ramos will likely be a lefty killer off the bench. He's somebody in the future who will perform pretty well on the short side of platoons, maybe at DH in a future time. The Giants also dealt second baseman Luis Arraez and reliever Caleb Killian to the Phillies in exchange for 2 prospects, starting pitcher Ramon Marquez, who is the Phillies' number 4 prospect and is now the Giants' number 7 prospect. He's a 20-year-old right-handed pitcher, and at low A and high A, he's pitched to a 1.68 ERA with a 0.81 whip, a 42% strikeout rate, and a 9% walk rate. Pretty impressive numbers there from Ramon Marquez. He's got a 70-grade changeup, which you usually don't want changeup first right-handed pitchers, because they're going to face mostly right-handed batters, and changeups are usually for opposite-handed hitters. But Marquez seems to have a lot of potential here, definitely in the strikeout department. They also got reliever Marty Gare, who was unranked and remains unranked. He's a 23-year-old righty reliever at low A and high A. He's pitched to a 4.50 ERA with a 45% strikeout rate, but he struggles with the free pass, walking 15% of the batters he's faced. However, he does have a 70-grade fastball. That's pretty exciting. Marty Gare and Ramon Marquez to the Giants in exchange for Arraez and Killian. Arraez has been MLB's premier contact hitter throughout his career, batting .318 across 8 big league seasons, but he's had his best season in 2026, not only batting .324 with 4 homers, 10 steals, and a 120 WRC plus, but that has come with elite defense at second base, something he has never had. He's made huge improvements on the defensive end this year, and that will allow him to stick at the keystone position in Philly. So with Arraez at second base, that will shift all the defense around in Philadelphia. Bryce Harper will move back to his original position in right field, opening up first base for Alec Boehm, allowing Bryson Stott to shift to third base. And that will be, an improved defensive lineup for the Phillies. Arraez will be a free agent after this season, so he's just a rental for the Phillies. Killian, though, will not be a rental, and he's been the Giants' closer for some parts of this year. He's pitching to a 4.26 ERA, a 1.33 whip, a 28% strikeout rate, and a 10% walk rate while recording 8 saves. Killian's command goes in and out, but he adds a high-leverage righty to a Phillies bullpen that lost Brad Keller to a season-ending injury just last week. And the Phillies will have team control of Killian, who is currently 29 years old. They'll have him through the 2031 campaign. Next, outfielder Colby Thomas was traded by the A's to the Phillies in exchange for reliever Seth Johnson. The A's were oddly quiet at this deadline, making just one agreement to send lefty-killing outfielder Colby Thomas to the Phillies. He had been optioned to the minors on the final day of July, so there won't be a noticeable impact on the offensive end of the big league roster for the A's. They will instead supplement the relief corps with a hard-throwing 27-year-old reliever who struggled to a 7.18 ERA during his brief big league tenure, but has displayed potential with a 2.17 ERA and a 33% strikeout rate at AAA this season. So a couple of not really impactful guys. Thomas is a lefty killer, and Seth Johnson clearly has some potential out of the bullpen, but these are guys that are going to be on the fringes of their respective rosters. Colby Thomas to the Phillies, Seth Johnson to the A's. Next, reliever Brooks Raley was traded by the Mets to the Phillies in exchange for 2 prospects, first one being outfielder John Spykerman, who was the Phillies' number 27 prospect and is now the Mets' number 28 prospect. He's a 23-year-old outfielder and was a third-round pick in 2024, and Spykerman, at low A and high A, has batted 252 with no homers, 18 steals, and a 116 WRC plus. So slap hitting speed guy. We'll see how that works out for the Mets. They also got starting pitcher Luke Grabish. Gabrish. I moved the R over. Luke Gabrish, who is unranked. He's a 23-year-old right-handed pitcher at high A. He's pitched to a 5.14 ERA, a 1.39 whip, and a 29% strikeout rate with an 11% walk rate. So definitely some work to be done on Gabrish. But the Phillies get Brooks Raley, and they didn't stop their bullpen reinforcements at Caleb Killian. They also acquired the veteran southpaw impending free agent Brooks Raley, who's been one of the most consistently effective and honestly underrated relievers in baseball. He's been great again this year, pitching to a 1.96 ERA, a 1.09 whip, and a 24% strikeout rate with 14 holds. And he'll join Jose Alvarado as the top lefties in the Phillies bullpen, giving closer Yoan Duran plenty of support in Philadelphia. The Mets traded away another reliever, sending Luke Weaver and cash considerations to the Pirates in exchange for shortstop Sammy Stafura, who was the Pirates' number 9 prospect and is now the Mets' number 11 prospect. Stafura is a 21-year-old, and he was a second-round pick in 2023. And at low A and high A, he's batted 276 with 20 homers, 20 steals, and a 133 WRC+. It's also a pretty fun story because Stafura grew up a Mets fan. But with the Pirates acquiring Luke Weaver, they get one of the game's top relievers, at least across the past three seasons. And he's been great in 2026 with a 1.84 ERA, 0.82 whip, and a 27% strikeout rate. Weaver has plenty of high leverage experience and could immediately slot in as the Pirates closer, with Gregory Soto struggling in recent weeks and Mason Montgomery having yet to nail down the ninth inning role in Pittsburgh. Though there is the risk of a closer committee with the potential of Mason Montgomery and Luke Weaver splitting saves with Gregory Soto mixing in here and there. However, the Pirates will have the benefit of one more year of control of Weaver before he hits free agency. So if he locks down the closer role here, he could be the closer again in Pittsburgh in 2027. The Mets also traded catcher Ben Rortvedt to the Dodgers in exchange for reliever Chase McDermott, who's a high strikeout, low control, failed starter turned reliever. Rortvedt, though, returns to the Dodgers after they acquired him at last year's trade deadline as well. He'll provide that aforementioned catching depth for a club that is missing both Will Smith and Dalton Rushing to injuries right now. The Dodgers will also acquire starting pitcher Chris Bubich from the Royals in exchange for reliever Carlos Duran, who is also a high strikeout, low control reliever at AAA. He's pitched to a 3.38 ERA with a 31% strikeout rate, but he's walked 14% of the batters he's faced. And why not add another starter? This one seems weird that the Dodgers would need another starter after acquiring Carrick Skubal, but that's until you realize that Chris Bubich is on the IL and is an impending free agent. So this is a player that the Dodgers are hopefully trying to get some innings from in the playoffs as a southpaw reliever. This is not somebody who's going to contribute to the rotation this year, nor do I even expect him to return to the majors before the end of the season. And given it's the Dodgers, I'm sure it's going to go well for them. And Bubich is probably going to be throwing the final pitches of a World Series victory or something ridiculous like that. The Dodgers also traded outfielder Jack Suwinski and international bonus pool space to the Rays in exchange for catcher Hunter Fiducia, who was traded by the Dodgers at last year's trade deadline to the Rays. So they just traded him right back, and that'll give the Dodgers some more catching depth that they're desperately needing at the moment. The Dodgers also received reliever Jacob Kmatz, K-M-A-T-Z, a 23-year-old righty who at high A and double A has pitched to a 2.89 ERA, a 0.92 whip, and a 36% strikeout rate with a 5% walk rate. I'm sure they're going to turn him into a lockdown reliever. And all it took was Jack Suwinski, who has proven to be a three true outcome hitter without much defense in the corner outfield. But Suwinski's dominated at AAA as a 27-year-old, batting 291 with 21 homers and a 134 WRC+. And the Rays are very savvy, and I'm sure they can find a way to maximize Suwinski's potential on the strong side of some sort of outfield platoon if he ever gets a chance in the majors. Next, outfielder Lars Nootbaar was traded by the Cardinals to the Diamondbacks in exchange for starting pitcher Daniel Egan, who was the Diamondbacks' number 5 prospect and is now the Cardinals' number 17 prospect, as his prospect star has faded a little bit. Egan is a 23-year-old righty, third-round pick in 2024 at AA. He's pitched to a 4.95 ERA, a 1.31 whip with a 29% strikeout rate and a 9% walk rate. The Cardinals also received reliever Sandro Santana, who was the Diamondbacks' number 26 prospect. He's now the Cardinals' number 22 prospect. He's a 21-year-old southpaw who at high A and double A has pitched to a 2.14 ERA, a 1.10 whip, and a 37% strikeout rate, and he has not struggled with walks. So Santana, a pretty interesting reliever addition to the Cardinals' farm system. The Cardinals will also get a player to be named later. And with injuries to a trio of outfielders, the Diamondbacks went in search of reinforcements on the trade market. They found a suitor in the Cardinals who were looking for a destination for Newt Barr, who has been a consistently average player during his time in the major leagues, accruing 2.6 F4 per 162 games with a 109 WRC plus since debuting in 2021. Newt Barr cost a pretty penny in prospect capital, but the Diamondbacks will maintain contractual control over Newt Barr for the 2027 season as well. Joining the club for the stretch run, the left-handed hitter will likely slot into left field, where he'll see most of his at-bats against right-handed pitching. His arrival should shift Max Kepler to the strong side of a DH platoon, where he'll split time with Yeldimar Vargas, while Newt Barr splits time with Tim Tawa, who will vacate first base against southpaws to get Tyler Locklear into the lineup. And for the Cardinals, Brian Torres will see playing time on the strong side of a left field platoon with Newt Barr out of town. Next, reliever Caleb Ferguson was traded by the Reds to the Cardinals in exchange for international bonus pool space. Ferguson is a veteran lefty who has pitched to a 4.01 ERA with a 20% strikeout rate this year, and he gives the Cardinals a veteran lefty to replace Jojo Romero, and he'll be a free agent after this season. And speaking of Jojo Romero, he was traded alongside starting pitcher Dustin May by the Cardinals to the Brewers in exchange for outfielder Alexander Frias and outfielder Josiah Ragsdale. Frias was the Brewers' number 11 prospect. He's now the Cardinals' number 4 prospect. He's an 18-year-old outfielder and playing in the Complex League. And at low A, he's batted .342 with 8 homers, 19 steals, and a 144 WRC+. So pretty interesting guy there, Alexander Frias going to the Cardinals. They also got Josiah Ragsdale, who was the Brewers' number 13 prospect. He's now the Cardinals' number 10 prospect. He's a 22-year-old outfielder, and at high A and double A, he's batted .316 with 19 homers, 31 steals, and a 161 WRC plus. It seems like a very impressive prospect return here for Dustin May and Jojo Romero, but both of these guys are very good, and I think they're going to help the Brewers a lot, though I hope they don't end up kicking themselves over giving up these two pretty interesting prospects. May is likely headed to free agency after this year with a mutual option, unlikely to be exercised for 2027. But I think the Brewers will be happy with what they're receiving, as his 4.38 ERA and 1.28 WHIP aren't spectacular. However, he is throwing harder and has fanned 23% of the batters he's faced this year, looking much more sustainable. And I think May's ground ball approach should thrive in front of the elite Brewers defense. The club will also add a veteran southpaw to the bullpen, pairing with Abner Uribe and Aaron Ashby to set up closer Trevor McGill. Romero has been extremely consistent during his Cardinals tenure and has pitched to a 3.35 ERA, a 1.30 WHIP, and a 23% strikeout rate this year while recording 20-plus holds for the third straight season. Romero is an impending free agent, and he wasn't the only Brewers bullpen addition, as they also got reliever Antonio Senzatella from the Rockies in exchange for third baseman Juan Martinez and reliever Mark Manfredi. Martinez was unranked but is now the Rockies' number 26 prospect. He's a 19-year-old who at Complex League and Low A has batted .307 with 7 homers, 27 steals, and a 120 WRC+. He's also got more walks than strikeouts, which is also always something that gets me excited. The Rockies also got Mark Manfredi, who is a 26-year-old lefty reliever at AA and AAA. He's pitched to a 3.35 ERA, a 1.23 WHIP, a 35% strikeout rate, and an 11% walk rate. And after years of toiling away in the Rockies' rotation, Senzatella has finally broken out after transitioning to the bullpen, pitching to a 3.61 ERA, a 1.30 WHIP, and a 21% strikeout rate, which doesn't sound very impressive, but he looked really good early in the season, but he's been regressing as the year has gone on. However, Senzatella is throwing harder, and if the Brewers have interest, he must be good. He has a club option for 2027 that is unlikely to be exercised, and Senzatella wasn't the only Rockies reliever dealt on Monday as reliever Victor Vodnik was traded by the Rockies to the Marlins in exchange for first baseman Connor Norby and starting pitcher Aiden May. Norby is a 26-year-old with five more years of control, but he batted just 205 with four homers, six steals, and an 81 WRC plus because he's striking out 30% of the time. However, he is somebody who had a lot of prospect pedigree when he was on the Orioles. We'll see what he can do playing in Colorado nowadays. The Rockies will also get Aiden May, who was the Marlins' number 27 prospect. He's now unranked. He's a 23-year-old righty who at high A has pitched to a 3.80 ERA, a 1.25 whip with a 20% strikeout rate and an 8% walk rate. The Marlins are out of playoff contention, but they're not close either. They aren't out of playoff contention, but they aren't close either. They have an 18% chance to make the playoffs according to FanGraphs. But they still are looking forward as they are sort of selling and buying at the trade deadline, looking to sort of make plays toward the future while also capitalizing on the tradable assets they have right now. And they'll add Victor Vodnik to the Marlins bullpen with their sights set on the future as Vodnik has three more years of control. Their bullpen is going to be insane next year, especially if they can turn Vodnik into the post-Coors beast that we expect him to be. I'm really curious to see what he looks like outside of the unfriendly confines of Coors Field. In other Rockies trades, they traded outfielder Brenton Doyle to the White Sox in exchange for starting pitcher Mason Adams and third baseman Carlos Vilma. Adams is a 26-year-old righty. He was the White Sox number 8 prospect. He's now the Rockies' number 19 prospect at high A and triple A. Adams has pitched to a 3.86 ERA, a 1.27 whip, a 24% strikeout rate, and a 10% walk rate, where Vilma is unranked for both the Rockies and the White Sox. He is a 16-year-old, and in the Dominican Summer League, he's batted .337 with a homer, a steal, and a 149 WRC+. So clearly a work in progress, definitely a future play for a 16-year-old Vilma. However, typically holding on to players through the deadline and letting them walk free agents in free agency, new management in Colorado has made some savvy moves to bring some talent back to Denver. The White Sox capitalized on the Rockies' willingness to part ways with talent, acquiring the once coveted Brenton Doyle, who has fallen off dramatically and was surpassed in center field by Cole Kerrig in Colorado, having batted just .214 with a homer and a 48 WRC plus this year. Doyle was likely just acquired for his elite center field glove, though he could also be on the short side of a platoon with Tristan Peters in center field in Chicago, and they'll have club control over Brenton Doyle through the 2029 campaign. In other White Sox trades, catcher Joey Bart was traded by the Braves to the White Sox in exchange for starting pitcher Duncan Davitt. He was the White Sox number 30 prospect. He's now an unranked prospect in the Braves system. The 26-year-old righty Davitt made a two-inning debut this year, and at AAA, he's pitched to a 6.22 ERA, a 1.48 whip, 24% strikeout rate, 10% walk rate. As for Joey Bart, he could immediately become the everyday backstop for the White Sox with Edgar Caro headed back to the minors and Drew Romo not being somebody that the club is fully committed to. The 2018 second overall pick, Bart has rarely displayed the potential that made him such a high draft pick nearly 10 years ago at this point. He's batted .226 with four homers and an 88 WRC plus this year. He also has one more year of arbitration eligibility. So if they don't get the most out of Bart this year, they'll have another shot in 2027. In other Braves trades, they dealt outfielder Eli White to the Red Sox in exchange for starting pitcher Tyler Uberstein, who is the Red Sox number 14 prospect and is now the Braves number 26 prospect. Uberstein is a 27-year-old righty. He's sort of a swingman type where he has the ability to pitch multiple innings out of the bullpen. At high A and triple A, he's pitched to a 3.23 ERA, a 1.10 whip, and a 30% strikeout rate with a 9% walk rate. And he made a brief MLB debut this season. As for Eli White, he's a speedster with great outfield defense and two more years of club control. He's the perfect fourth or fifth outfielder type where you don't need to rely on him, but he's great to bring in late in games, either as a pinch runner or a defensive replacement. And with the Braves acquiring Lane Thomas over the weekend, White became expendable, but he should be a pretty reliable option off of the Red Sox bench. Speaking of the Red Sox, they acquired reliever Eric Miller from the Giants in exchange for second baseman Marcelo Meyer. I thought that was pretty surprising given the pedigree that Marcelo Meyer has had throughout his career, though Miller is certainly worth the acquisition. He had been in the process of taking over the closer role in San Francisco, so his departure makes the ninth inning a wide open competition. And with Caleb Killian also gone, the likeliest candidates to record saves for the Giants over the season's final 2 months are Dylan Smith and Keaton Winn, though Jason Foley has the most experience in the role. Meyer, though, is currently on the injured list, recovering from a stress reaction in his forearm, and he won't be rushed back to the majors this year, but he figures to be a key member of the Giants' 2027 infield. The 2021 fourth overall pick, Meyer has seen his prospect star fade as he slashed 223, 278, 346 with a 69 WRC plus during his brief major league tenure, but still just 23 years old. There's still plenty of time for Meyer to make good on his prospect pedigree. As for Miller, he's pitched to a 276 ERA, a 138 whip with a 32% strikeout rate and a 16% walk rate. High strikeout, high walk guy, but he does have high leverage experience and 3 more years of club control. And that gives the Red Sox also some more back-end bullpen help, as he'll combine with Garrett Whitlock and Justin Slayton to set up for closer Aroldis Chapman. Maybe the biggest trade of the day, the Red Sox also acquired catcher Adley Rutschman, catcher Jake Rogers, and cash considerations from the Orioles in exchange for catcher Carlos Narvaez, starting pitcher Anthony Ianson, starting pitcher Kyson Witherspoon, and outfielder Endy Azokar. It's as a almost monumental trade. We'll start with the prospect return. Carlos Narvaez isn't a prospect. He's a 27-year-old who has been playing in the majors for the past couple of years for the Red Sox. He'll slot in as the number two catcher behind Samuel Basayo. He won't be a free agent until after the 2030 campaign, but I'm curious how long he sticks around, because Narvaez has batted 187 with 3 homers and a 47 WRC plus this year. And while he was great last year with 2.7 F4 in 118 games, he struck out 34% of the time this year. The prospects, though, are pretty exciting. The Orioles will get Anthony Ianson, who is the number 49 prospect in all of baseball. He was the Red Sox number two prospect and is now the Orioles' number one prospect. He's a 21-year-old righty, third-round pick in 2025, and Ianson at high A and double A has pitched to a 1.32 ERA, a 0.89 whip, with a 37% strikeout rate and a 10% walk rate. They'll also get Kyson Witherspoon, who is the Red Sox number four prospect and is now the Orioles' number seven prospect. He's a 21-year-old righty and was the 15th overall pick in last year's draft. Witherspoon at high A has pitched to a 4.78 ERA with a 1.39 whip, 24% strikeout rate, and 11% walk rate. And then they'll get a young outfielder, Azokar, who was the Red Sox number five prospect and is now the Orioles number eight prospect. Azokar is a 19-year-old outfielder at low A and high A. He's batted 286 with 18 homers, 11 steals, and a 119 WRC plus. So definitely not a light package to get Adley Rutschman to Boston, and it's probably the most surprising trade of the day. The Red Sox made an intra-division trade, acquiring 2 years of Adley Rutschman for this significant prospect haul. Rutschman was the first overall pick in 2019, and he's had his moments where he's lived up to his potential and others where he sort of looked like a bust, but when healthy this year, he's looked awesome, batting 251 with 8 homers and a 115 WRC plus with great defense behind the plate. Rutschman became expendable in Baltimore with the emergence of Samuel Basayo, but he'll be a huge part of this Red Sox club once he returns from the IL, where he's recovering from wrist inflammation. Rogers will act as the backup backstop to Connor Wong until Adley Rutschman arrives and takes over full time. And not only does Rutschman improve this club defensively, he also lengthens a lineup that needed reinforcements badly. So pretty exciting. Adley Rutschman from the Orioles to the Red Sox. The Orioles also traded outfielder Taylor Ward to the Mariners in exchange for starting pitcher Harrison Kreeling, reliever Brock Moore, and reliever Alex Hoppe. Harrison Kreeling, actually all three prospects are unranked. Kreeling is a 24-year-old righty. He missed 2 years with injury after being drafted, so he's at low A at 24 years old, 1.69 ERA, 0.56 whip, 42% strikeout rate, 3% walk rate. I think it's time for Kreeling to jump up another level, at least to high A. The Orioles also got reliever Brock Moore, a 26-year-old righty who at high A and double A has pitched to a 3.72 ERA, a 1.11 whip, a 42% strikeout rate, and a 13% walk rate. So definitely some strikeout potential from Moore. There's also strikeout potential from Hoppe, who has actually made his major league debut this year. He's a 27-year-old righty in the big leagues this year for the Mariners, 5.79 ERA, 1.36 whip, 28% strikeout rate, 9% walk rate. He struggled with his command throughout his minor league career, but Hoppe throws 98 miles per hour and has the ability to strike batters out. So definitely some interesting arms going to the Orioles, but no guarantees there. for the Mariners, and Taylor Ward, after being traded over the offseason to the Orioles following a career best season in 2025. Ward has taken what has seemed like a step back, but WRC Plus views it as an equally valuable season, as Ward has hit 29 fewer homers than last year. He hit 37 last year, but he still has an equal 117 WRC Plus because he's walked 17% of the time for a 383 on base percentage. The impending free agent will stick in left field or at DH on the Mariners, giving them an incredibly deep lineup and elite rotation that should lead to a strong finish to the season. In Baltimore, Tyler O'Neill should see more time in Baltimore, with no more Ward taking playing time away from him in the outfield. In other Orioles trades, reliever Tyler Wells was traded by the Orioles to the Rays in exchange for starting pitcher Michael Forrett. The 22-year-old righty was the Rays' number 8 prospect. He's now the Orioles' number 6 prospect, and at AA and AAA, he's pitched to a 3.29 ERA, a 1.23 WHIP, 27% strikeout rate, 10% walk rate from Michael Forrett or Foray. Wells is already a beast, so seeing him go to the Rays is honestly a little bit scary. The 6'8" righty could get even better going from Baltimore to Tampa Bay. He's pitched to a 2.67 ERA, 0.96 WHIP, and a 25% strikeout rate, and he has great control, so he'll slot into the back end of the Rays arm barn alongside Garrett Clevenger and Kevin Kelly to support former Oriole and current closer in Tampa Bay, Brian Baker. Wells has one more year of team control, so I really like this trade for the Rays. This is one that's going to be really interesting to watch, because I think Wells is somebody that's got even more potential beyond how he's pitched this year, and the Rays are the team that is going to get the most out of him. Speaking of the Rays, they made a big acquisition acquiring catcher Liam Hicks from the Marlins in exchange for third baseman Braden Taylor, starting pitcher Jacob Kisting, and shortstop Adrian Santana. Taylor was the Rays' number 16 prospect and is now the Marlins' number 10 prospect. He's a 24-year-old, and he was the 19th overall pick in 2023. At AA, Taylor has batted .284 with 17 homers, 20 steals, and a 136 WRC+. They also gave up Jacob Kisting to the Marlins. He was the Rays' number 26 prospect. He's now the Marlins' number 23 prospect. Kisting is a 23-year-old righty who at high A has pitched to a 1.67 ERA, a 0.87 WHIP, with a 29% strikeout rate and a 5% walk rate. And lastly, the Marlins get shortstop Adrian Santana, who was the Rays' number 27 prospect, now the Marlins' number 24 prospect. He is a 21-year-old shortstop. He was the 31st overall pick in 2023. And in the complex league and high A, Santana has batted .311 with 3 homers, 23 steals, and a 103 WRC plus. So a huge package of prospects. It's a pretty impressive package for Hicks, who has broken out in a big way, batting .282 with 14 homers and a 119 WRC plus while walking more than he's striking out. The 27-year-old still has 4 more years of club control, but I was surprised at how much the Rays were willing to give up. I think they really value plate discipline and contact ability. That's sort of how they built their team this year, and they clearly see Hicks as an upgrade over Nick Fortes. So he'll be the everyday catcher, but he may cede some time to Fortes versus left-handed pitchers. His departure opens up full run for Joe Mack behind the plate in Miami. In other Marlins trades, reliever Lake Backer was traded by the Marlins to the Pirates in exchange for reliever Brandon Bidois, a 25-year-old righty with high strikeout, low control stuff. He has a 6.32 ERA, a 1.98 WHIP, and a 25% strikeout rate with a 15% walk rate in the majors this year. He's got really good stuff. I'm excited to see what the Marlins can do with Bidois. They just what they needed, another great reliever to make their 2027 bullpen unstoppable. The Marlins also got outfielder Brian Sanchez, who's unranked. He's a 22-year-old at high A, batting .254 with 9 homers, 9 steals, and a 94 WRC+. And he was acquired by the Pirates in the David Bednar trade last deadline. And the third piece of the return for Lake Backer from the Pirates to the Marlins is third baseman Hyun Seung Lee, who is an 18-year-old who's played at the complex league and low A, batting .264 with 7 homers, 3 steals, and a 110 WRC+. And this is a weird trade because the Marlins brought in Victor Vodnik, but they're now sending other relievers away. But it does make sense to capitalize on Backer, though, as he's 31 years old and is in the midst of a great season, pitching to a 3.84 ERA with a 109 WHIP and a 25% strikeout rate, proving to be super flexible in his roles, as he's been an opener. He can pitch multiple multiple innings. He can pitch high leverage innings, and he still has 5 more years of control. He'll join a Pirates bullpen that may be the most improved after the deadline, having added Camilo Duvall a couple of days ago and Luke Weaver yesterday to go with Lake Backer and Kirby Yates, who we've yet to talk about. And honestly, I think that's pretty dope that the Pirates are going all in to address one of their weakest parts of their team. In one more Marlins trade, they dealt starting pitcher Braxton Garrett to the Cubs in exchange for first baseman Jonathan Long and starting pitcher Jace Beck. Long was the Cubs' number 10 prospect, is now the Marlins' number 14 prospect. He's a 24-year-old first baseman, and Long at AAA has batted .283 with 12 homers and a 108 WRC+. He seems like your typical quad A type first baseman. The Marlins also get starting pitcher Jace Beck, who is unranked. He's a 26-year-old righty who at AA and AAA has pitched to a 3.62 ERA, 1.42 whip, 35% strikeout rate, 11% walk rate. So there's some strikeout stuff there, but Beck seems like a swingman type where he's going to pitch multiple innings out of the bullpen and ultimately settle into a one-inning role in the future. The Cubs didn't have to give up much to get Garrett, as both of these guys seem like fringe prospects, but Garrett is still just 28 years old and has 2 more years of control, but he hasn't looked amazing since returning from Tommy John surgery, though he has recorded a 2.90 ERA and a 26% strikeout rate at AAA this year. Garrett won't join the rotation immediately, but he is good depth to have for a pitching staff that has faced endless injuries this year. And the Cubs did not stop there. They acquired starting pitcher Clay Holmes and outfielder Tyrone Taylor from the Mets in exchange for shortstop Jefferson Rojas, who is the number 63 prospect in baseball. He was the Cubs' number 2 prospect. He's now the Mets' number 1 prospect. Rojas is a 21-year-old shortstop at AA. He's batted .270 with 15 homers, 17 steals, and a 114 WRC+. Seems like a pretty steep price to pay for Holmes and Taylor, but Holmes looked pretty good this year, and he's been recovering from a fractured leg after getting hit by a comebacker. But prior to that injury, he was dominating with a 2.39 ERA across 9 starts, and he fits perfectly as an elite ground ball pitcher in front of an elite Cubs defense, though it did cost them a pretty penny. Holmes does have a player option for 2027, and at 33 years old, I'd expect him to exercise it, which means that the Cubs will get Clay Holmes for 2 seasons. They will also get the lefty mashing Taylor for just half a season, though. This has been his best offensive season, as Taylor has batted .241 with 10 homers and a 117 WRC+, and he'll likely be on the short side of a DH platoon for the Cubs. So the Cubs get Clay Holmes and Tyrone Taylor. The Cubs also got reliever Ryan Zephyrjohn in a trade with the Angels in exchange for catcher Moises Ballesteros, starting pitcher Mason McGuire. Ballesteros is expected to be recalled from the minors immediately and just 22 years old. He wasn't able to keep up his early season pace, as he's now batting .231 with just 6 homers and a 91 WRC+, but the Angels view Ballesteros as the catcher of the future after trading Logan Ohapi to the Rangers last week. The Angels also get starting pitcher Mason McGuire, who is the Cubs' number 19 prospect. He's now the Angels' number 15 prospect. He's a 22-year-old righty who at low A and high A has pitched to a 3.64 ERA, a 1.23 whip with a 29% strikeout rate and a 10% walk rate. And this is another son of a former big league star, former MVP. Mason McGuire is the son of Mark McGuire. So pretty interesting. Mason McGuire to the Angels in exchange for Ryan Zephyrjohn, who is a high strikeout, high walk rate reliever that has made it work this year, pitching to a 3.66 ERA with a 1.20 whip, striking out 34% of the batters he's faced, but walking 14%. He has experience in high leverage situations, and he could thrive in a new organization. The Cubs also get the 28-year-old through the 2030 season, so they'll have Zephyrjohn around for 3 more seasons after this year. Zephyrjohn's stuff is awesome, and he could find his way into pitching more important innings, setting up alongside Jacob Webb and Caleb Thielbar when Daniel Palencia returns from the IL and reclaims the closer role. The Angels also traded reliever Kirby Yates to the Pirates in exchange for reliever Kyle Robinson, who is an unranked prospect. He's a 23-year-old righty who at high A and double A has pitched to a 4.55 ERA, a 1.43 whip with a 22% strikeout rate and a 10% walk rate. And Robinson has already been traded once this year. So what's another one? Robinson will go to the Angels in exchange for Kirby Yates, who is a veteran reliever who really shouldn't be trusted in high leverage situations, but he's a great depth piece for an upgraded Pirates bullpen. And at 39 29 years old. The impending free agent Yates continues to excel. 3.95 ERA, 1.17 whip, 31% strikeout rate, and a 10% walk rate. And as long as Yates's splitter cooks and the four-seamer avoids damage, I think he's going to be pretty trustworthy as in the front end of that Pirates bullpen. The Angels also traded reliever Brent Suter to the Braves in exchange for third baseman Nacho Alvarez Jr., who's a 23-year-old who has seen big league time in 2024 and 2025. At AAA, though, he struggled this year, batting .236 with two homers, four steals, and an 81 WRC+. However, he's proven to have a much higher offensive ceiling. In the end, I think Alvarez is likely a utility infielder for the Angels. For Suter, though, he gives the stacked Braves bullpen a depth southpaw who can pitch multiple innings out of the bullpen and appear just about every day because he throws 85 miles per hour. So he doesn't have a lot of strain on his arm. Suter has pitched to a 4.12 ERA, a 1.26 whip, 21% strikeout rate, and a 6% walk rate on the season. Multiple more Angels trades. They had a big trade deadline. They dealt outfielder Joe Adell to the Guardians in exchange for catcher Jacob Cozart, who was the Guardians' number 18 prospect. He's now the Angels' number 19 prospect. He's a 23-year-old who is a second-round pick in 2024, and Cozart at AA has batted .239 with 10 homers and a 96 WRC+. We'll see how he works with the recently acquired Moises Ballesteros. Adell, though, has been a divisive player throughout his career with light tower power, questionable defense, and replacement level results. With one more year on his rookie contract before free agency, the Angels capitalized on interest from the Guardians. With right field vacated, Josh Lowe and Wade Mechler will be able to share outfield duties on the strong side of corner outfield platoons. As for Adell, he's still an upgrade in right field for the Guardians, where his power will absolutely play and his low on base percentage will be made up for by the contact oriented bats around him. And maybe by osmosis, Adell can learn to be more patient at the plate. The final Angels trade was starting pitcher Jose Soriano, who was traded to the Blue Jays in exchange for three prospects, shortstop Arjun Nimala, outfielder Eddie Micheletti Jr., and starting pitcher Angel Rivero. Nimala was the highest rated prospect traded on deadline day. He's the majors number 43 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. He was the Blue Jays number two prospect. He's now the Angels number two prospect. And the 20-year-old Nimala at low A, high A, and double A has batted .265 with eight homers, six steals, and a 1.16 WRC+. Micheletti Jr. is unranked. He's a 24-year-old outfielder at AA. He's batted .251 with 14 homers, 5 steals, and a 1.11 WRC+. And Rivero is an unranked starting pitcher who at 19 years old from the right side has pitched in the Complex League to a 2.36 ERA, a 1.38 whip, a 29% strikeout rate, and a 13% walk rate. Soriano, though, has been a reliable pitcher this year, and the Angels have struggled to find those, but they were willing to give him up with a great prospect coming back their way. The Blue Jays have their eyes set on 2027, and Soriano, who has two more years of club control, fits perfectly into that window. His ground ball approach should thrive in front of the elite Blue Jays defense, and Soriano will get to learn from some of the greats like Dylan Cease, Max Scherzer, and Shane Bieber, so maybe he'll be able to take his game to an even higher level. Soriano's ability to pitch deep in the game should also take pressure off the rest of the pitching staff as the Blue Jays set their eyes on 2027. The Blue Jays also acquired second baseman Josh Smith from the Rangers in exchange for reliever Adam Mako, who's a 25-year-old southpaw who's pitched to a 4.91 ERA, a 1.55 whip with a 23% strikeout rate and a 10% walk rate in the majors this year. Josh Smith, though, is one of the most versatile players in the game, and with two more years before free agency, he fits into the Blue Jays' window of contention. Smith has struggled this year, but he's been a league-average bat throughout his career, and he can be a super utility guy off of the bench immediately. The Blue Jays also traded away reliever Jeff Hoffman and cash considerations to the Twins in exchange for starting pitcher Dasson Hill, starting pitcher John Klein, and second baseman Demuri Pena. Hill was the Twins' number 7 prospect. He's now the Blue Jays' number 6 prospect. He's a 20-year-old southpaw starter who at high A has struggled to a 5.80 ERA with a 1.73 whip, but he struck out 36% of the batters he's faced. If he can get that 17% walk rate down, Dasson Hill should be pretty interesting. They also got John Klein, who is the Twins' number 17 prospect, now the Blue Jays' number 25 prospect. He's a 24-year-old righty at AAA, 5.91 ERA, 1.52 whip, 26% strikeout rate, 12% walk rate. John Klein made a brief big league debut this year, and he's sort of a swingman type, so not somebody with a ton of potential. And lastly, the Blue Jays got Demuri Pena, who's an unranked prospect. He's 20 years old at low A and high A. He's batted 300 with one homer, 20 steals, and a 101 WRC plus. The Blue Jays also got international bonus pool space, but the Twins, they got Jeff Hoffman, and they've badly needed bullpen help since even before the season began, and they'll get one of the unluckiest arms who has some of the highest potential of all the relievers dealt at this year's trade deadline. Hoffman has a 3.94 ERA and a 1.38 whip, but it comes with a 35% strikeout rate and a 2.55 xFIP. Yoendris Gomez has emerged as the Twins' closer, but Hoffman is much better, and he should be the top option for saves moving forward. The Twins will also be able to deploy Hoffman as their closer in 2027 as well. The last Blue Jays trade was outfielder Dalton Varsho being traded to the Astros in exchange for starting pitcher Spencer Arrighetti. Arrighetti has strikeout stuff, but he struggled to stay healthy or command that strikeout stuff. But he gives the Blue Jays 2027 roster depth that they didn't have enough of this year. Right now, Arrighetti is currently on the injured list with foot nerve irritation. Varsho, though, is an elite center field defender who is likely more of an average hitter than the 123 WRC plus guy he had last year, but there is potential there for the Astros to get out of him. However, he is an impending free agent, so the Astros will only have 2 months to get that out of Varsho. He'll slot into center field every day in Houston, shifting Taylor Trammell to left field. And in Toronto, Miles Straw should see extra playing time in center field. Our second to last trade, starting pitcher Foster Griffin was traded by the Nationals to the Guardians in exchange for reliever Will Dion. They also got starting pitcher Josh Hartle, outfielder Nick Mitchell, and reliever Kendiglas Verguez, who I think is the best name traded at this year's deadline. Dion is pretty interesting, 26-year-old southpaw, 4.58 ERA, 1.37 whip, 29% strikeout rate, 4% walk rate. In the majors this year, Dion has funky stuff, has always gotten strikeouts, and I think he could play really well in the majors. He doesn't throw very hard, but there's just something about his ability to spin the ball and throw funkily, and I think he's going to really help a Nationals bullpen that is trying to figure things out in relief. The Nationals also got Josh Hartle, who was the Guardians' number 25 prospect. He's now the Nationals' number 29 prospect. Hartle is a 23-year-old southpaw who was a 2024 third-round pick. At AA, he's pitched to a 3.86 ERA, a 1.38 whip, 22% strikeout rate, 9% walk rate. They also got unranked outfielder Nick Mitchell, who's 22, and at AA, he's batted 240 with 5 homers, 19 steals, and a 102 WRC+, and the aforementioned reliever Kendiglas Verguez, who's an unranked 22-year-old righty at high A and double A, 4.13 ERA, 1.45 whip, 36% strikeout rate, 12% walk rate. So some potential there for Kendiglas Verguez, but the Guardians are definitely getting a great pitcher here. Griffin was one of the most successful signings out of MPB this year, rivaling only Taka Murakami. And after earning an all-star selection in his first season back in the majors, Griffin will earn a lot more than the $5.5 million he signed for this past season. He's still just 30 years old, and he's pitched to a 3.06 ERA with a 1.07 whip, 22% strikeout rate, and a 6% walk rate this year. And Griffin will make the Guardians rotation one of the best in baseball, in my opinion, as he'll team up with Gavin Williams and Parker Messick alongside Tanner Bibee and Joey Cantillo. The last trade, first baseman Nathaniel Lowe was traded by the Reds to the Guardians in exchange for starting pitcher Alejandro Rivera. Rivera is an unranked 19-year-old right-handed pitcher who in the complex league and low A has pitched to a 3.06 ERA, a 1.06 whip, 32% strikeout rate, and an 8% walk rate. The Guardians get Nathaniel Lowe. They'll option first baseman Cal Manzardo to the minors to allow Lowe to take over the strong side of a first place platoon in Cleveland. And Lowe has discovered his form at the plate. The impending free agent has batted 266 with 12 homers and a 120 WRC plus, and he upgrades a Guardians lineup that didn't get much from Manzardo this year, but they did also add Joe Adell. So Joe Adell and Nathaniel Lowe added to the Guardians lineup. In Cincinnati, the DH role will be vacated for Eugenio Suarez or a more exciting promotion. But those are all the trades from deadline day. Just took 45 minutes to get through it. Don't worry, I still got you for the rest of the transactions, a couple of notable performances, and looking forward to Tuesday, August 4th. But first, we're going to take a quick break here on the First Pitch Podcast. All right, let's look at some transactions that weren't trades. Starting pitcher Andrew Alvarez was recalled from the minors to start in Philadelphia for the Nationals, 6 1/3 innings, 3 hits, 2 earned, 3 walks, 5 Ks, 10 whiffs, 26% CSW across 81 pitches for Alvarez. He'd completed 5 frames just once this year before pitching into the 7th on Monday, displaying efficiency and a pitch count leash that had been missing all year. Alvarez didn't even throw strikes or limit walks. 3 walks here, sub 60% strike rate, but he was lucky enough to return 12 outs on 15 balls in play to prevent base runners and make him efficient. Alvarez is maybe a deep league streamer versus the Reds up next, but he's not my favorite given his lack of reliability this year. Reliever Riley Cornelio was optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. In other Nationals news, first baseman Abimelech Ortiz, the Nationals' number 24 prospect, who made his brief debut earlier this year and has legit power. He was recalled from the minors, and he'll be on the strong side of a first base platoon following the trade of Luis Garcia Jr. So Abimelech Ortiz up for the Nationals. In other NL East news, shortstop Ha-Seong Kim was activated from the 10-day IL after missing a month with finger inflammation. Kim may be forced to the short side of a shortstop platoon with the success of Jim Jarvis for the Braves. The Braves also activated catcher Sean Murphy from the 10-day IL after he missed nearly 3 months with a fractured finger. Murphy will be the backup catcher to current backstop Drake Baldwin. And lastly, starting pitcher Emmett Sheehan was optioned to the minors. There needed to be room to be made in the Dodgers rotation following the addition of Tarek Skubal, and Sheehan was the odd man out after being up and down in his performance all year due to decreased velocity. So Emmett Sheehan to the minors to make room for Tarek Skubal. In terms of news, we still have exciting things to talk about, even though we've gone through all of these trades. Shortstop George Lombard Jr., the Yankees' number one prospect, is expected to be selected from the minors today. He was the 26th overall pick in 2023, and he's the number 20 prospect in baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. The 21-year-old right-handed hitter has played in the Complex League, AA and AAA this year, batting .284 with 12 homers, 14 steals, and a 140 WRC+, with pretty impressive discipline, 17% walk rate with a 21% strikeout rate. Lombard Jr. will take over as the Yankees' everyday shortstop, and I think he needs to be rostered universally, especially with shortstop Anthony Volpe optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. Outfielder Jason Dominguez and reliever Angel Chavilla will join Volpe on the bus to AAA. We also are going to get another exciting call-up as reliever Jeffrey Yan is expected to be recalled from the minors by the Mets. Yes, known for his eccentric strikeout celebrations in the minors and NPB, where he'll strike a guy out, squat all the way down, and then jump as high as he can. The 29-year-old Southpaw Yan at AA and AAA has pitched to a 3.24 ERA with a 1.27 whip, striking out 44% of the batters he's faced, but walking 16% of them. So struggles with his command for Yan, but he has a lot of potential in the strikeout department. And he'll be joined by a bunch of other additions to the Mets bullpen: Chase McDermott, Nate Lavender, Xavion Curry, and Deadniel Nunez. And lastly, outfielder Hector Rodriguez is expected to be recalled from the minors. He's the Reds' number 3 prospect, and the 22-year-old left-handed hitter at AAA has batted .274 with 27 home runs and a 123 WRC+, and he could take over in right field for Noelvi Marte, or he could take over for Nathaniel Lowe at DH, as Nathaniel Lowe was on the strong side of a DH platoon, and we could see the left-handed hitting Hector Rodriguez do the same. All right, got all the news out of the way. Now we'll take a look at some notable performances from Monday, a day in which we had just 8 games on the slate. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with first baseman Alec Burleson, who helped the Cardinals to win in New York, going 3 for 5 with 3 runs, 3 home runs, and 6 runs batted in. He's up to 18 home runs on the season now, Alec Burleson is, after this 3-home run game. Outfielder Jung-Hoo Lee helped the Giants to win in Texas, going 3 for 4 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 3 runs batted in, and a steal to complete the combo meal. He's up to 8 homers and 8 steals on the year now. Great season from Jung-Hoo Lee, who's also batting .306. And lastly, third baseman Junior Caminero helped the Rays to win in Colorado, going 2 for 4 with 3 runs, 2 home runs, and 3 runs batted in. He's up to 32 homers on the year now. He's fourth in baseball with those 32 homers. Junior Caminero has a .930 OPS on the season. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Monday, check out the daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances. We'll look at just one. Brandon Pfaadt helped the Diamondbacks to win against the Padres, tossing 6 2/3 innings, allowing 5 hits with no earned runs, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts, inducing 8 whiffs with 26% CSW across 90 pitches. And Pfaadt was our streamer of the day, and he came through relying on his four-seamer and changeup instead of the kitchen sink approach he's popularized recently. Pfaadt still relied heavily on balls in play with single-digit whiffs and just 3 strikeouts, returning 16 outs on 21 balls in play to get him into the seventh inning against the Padres. And with Pfaadt facing the Dodgers in his next start, he's a clear avoid. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Monday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves, starting with the former Yoan Duran, recorded his 25th save with a perfect ninth. Mason Montgomery had a scoreless 3-strikeout ninth for his third save. Gregory Soto recorded 4 outs across the 6th and 7th in that one, and I'm curious to see how Luke Weaver works into this bullpen, because I would love to see Montgomery be the closer there, and they can afford to do that with Gregory Soto as a secondary southpaw there, using Weaver as a high leverage fireman, but we'll see how that works out in Pittsburgh. And lastly, Tyler Rogers pitched a perfect ninth for his third save. Louis Varland had thrown 31 pitches on Sunday, so he got the day off. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Clayton Beter allowed 2 runs while recording 1 out, pitching in an 8th inning deficit. And Brandon Garcia pitched a perfect ninth with a 4-run lead after the Diamondbacks tacked on 2 insurance runs in the 8th to ruin his save chance. I think Garcia is the clear top option for saves in Arizona. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And now we'll look forward to Tuesday, August 4th, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Tarek Skubal versus Javier Assad. Not the best matchup, but Tarek Skubal will make his major league debut for the Dodgers. You hate to see it. In terms of probable starters, we've got 4 guys in the auto starts tier, including Skubal. We've also got Joe Ryan in Kansas City, Jesus Luzardo versus the Nationals, and Logan Henderson versus the Pirates. Our probably starts tier has 6 guys, and our questionable starts tier has 5, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Sean Manaea in Cleveland. The Guardians lineup did get some reinforcements, but Manaea is a guy who can make it through 5 or 6 frames and get you a win if the Mets can get him enough run support. And also keep an eye out for Brady Singer against the A's. They have not been good on the road. Great American Ballpark isn't great, but Singer has displayed pretty decent command across the past month. And if he can continue to do so, you should be able to limit the damage against the A's. In terms of hitter suggestions, I target Orioles hitters versus Grayson Rodriguez and Camden Yards. Rodriguez will be making his return to Baltimore, but he's pitched to a 7.98 ERA this season. I'd also target A's and Reds hitters in Great American Ballpark. One of the best hitters parks in baseball. We'll see JT Ginn square off against Brady Singer in that one. And lastly, I target Rays and Rockies hitters in Coors. We'll see Freddie Peralta make his Rays debut, squaring off against Gabriel Hughes. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Looks like every closer should be available on Tuesday. So that'll do it for this episode of the First Pitch podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.